This is Matt Rogers from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, okay, hold on, I got a new favorite food.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah, it's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it at the grocery store.
And this mayo is different.
Mm-hmm. Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything. Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you on this gorgeous Monday morning. Titans get it done. Chase will be back. He's off this week, so he will not be with us today or this week. So he's getting a much-needed break during Thanksgiving week. The Titans come off the 30-24 overtime victory. We talk with TD, Teron Davenport, on the line with us, NFL Nation reporter covering the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. Also talking with TD is his podcast that you can hear drop on Wednesdays on 102.5 The Game, plus Nate and TD on Fridays during the 6 o'clock hour here on 102.5 The Game. The Titans get a big win, Teron, but it may come at a cost. It looks like Jayon Brown, his season may be over. That was a bad, bad injury, and how do you replace a guy like that on defense? He had been playing really well.
Yeah, Jayon Brown is definitely, he's out for the year, it looks like. And it's going to be tough to replace him. They went with the veteran, Will Compton, yesterday. But I think down the line it's going to be David Long once he gets activated from the reserve COVID list. And I know he's very anxious to play football. It's been a while since he was out there consistently. And ironically, the last time he had a really big impact was in the Ravens game last year in the divisional, well, earlier this year in the divisional playoff game. So definitely think that'll be a great opportunity for him. He's a smart player. He's instinctive. He's a playmaker, so that'll help. But then once Kenny Vaccaro, once he gets clear from concussion protocol, I would expect to see them use a lot of three safety looks. They like to do that anyway. So, you know, have a car on Byard with, along with Amani Hooker in there. That will help. And then they could do a lot with Desmond King because he's a very stout, squatty type of player that could play the run as well.
They end up having their third player at left tackle because of the injury to Tyson Brailo yesterday. So third guy at left tackle this season. And so let's just start there with Sam Brailo. What do you think is going to be the diagnosis with him? I know Mike Vrabel will talk at 12:30 today. I don't know if we'll get anything out of him, but he will talk at 12:30 if he's unable to go for any period of time, maybe the rest of the season. What do you think is going to be their course of action at that position moving forward?
I think it's pretty simple. They're going to have David Quisenberry play left tackle. And Mike Vrabel has a very strong relationship with Quisenberry. He's a guy that, you know, helped teach his son Tyler how to play tackle. And, you know, his son is out there starting Division I with Boston College. And they just have a thorough relationship. It goes back to their days in Houston. And I feel that Mike Vrabel believes in Quisenberry and feels that he'll be able to go out there. He did a solid job, actually. You know, Ngakoue was a bit more quiet yesterday once Quisenberry went in there. And I'm not going to say it's all on Quisenberry. You know, he lined up on the right side a few times as well. So that definitely helped. I think that's going to be their course of action. Everyone is saying Isaiah Wilson. And I get it. He's a first-round pick. But I think he's going to still be a reserve. But he's inching closer to getting out there on the football field. I just wouldn't flip Dennis Kelly from right to left and put Wilson in there. I think if you just swap out that left tackle position rather than two positions, I think they'll be better off.
What do you think, and I'm just asking for your opinion because we don't know behind closed doors, really their discussions. But what do you think they would like to do with Isaiah Wilson? Do you think in a perfect scenario that they would just be able to keep working guys in and out of there and just keep him off the field this season? Or do you think ultimately they are dying to get him out on the field? How do you think they feel about him behind the scenes?
Oh, they definitely aren't dying to get him out there on
the
field.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel about it.
I think it's a wise decision. It's been a rough start for him, you know, dealing with COVID, some of the other off-the-field stuff he's had to deal with, and then even just being there in practice, it hasn't been, the best start. But I don't think that's any type of indictment on Isaiah Wilson as a person or prospect, as a football player. I think it's going to take a little bit of time, and that's the course that they're taking. They go out there before games, and that workout that they put him through, it's pretty intense. And, you know, he's going through and working on techniques, and they're coaching him, throughout practice. You even saw him get a little bit of coaching during the game on the sideline from, of all people, Craig Aukerman was working with him on something. So I thought that was interesting. It's just clearly a work in progress. They have no doubt that he's eventually going to slide in there and be the right tackle. It's just going to take a little bit of time, and they have the luxury of having a guy who is pretty solid in Dennis Kelly, and he's under contract for a couple of years, so they're in good shape there.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Just opinion wise, they're not in any rush to get him out there, and would probably prefer that he doesn't play. But so my follow up was going to be: so does that mean that there is cause for concern on his future? On, you know, what does that mean that you're in no rush to get your first round pick on the field? But I think you kind of answered that. You don't think that is cause for concern at all, feeling that
way? No, and that's the problem with the microwave mindset. Everything has to happen immediately. Just because a guy's a first round pick, that doesn't mean he has to come in and immediately contribute. And especially when you're looking at the back end of the first round, I don't see that being any indictment whatsoever on Isaiah Wilson or John Robinson or their personnel department. I don't think it's an indictment at all. The future is going to be fine for him. You just have to give it a moment to work out. I mean, you know, you look at everybody rushed to judgment on Eric Fisher when the Chiefs selected him with the first overall pick, and they called him a bust. In fact, he was getting comparisons to Tony Mandarich, but now he's an all-pro caliber player. So it just doesn't always happen immediately, and that's a serious flaw that we have as a society.
How did they get this done yesterday? I mean, I've already admitted, I didn't think there, with all the injuries, you know, all the news coming out, Clowney's on IR, no Kenny Vaccaro, just the bodies that were stacking up that weren't going to be available. I'm like, they're just not going to be able to find a way to get this one. And yet here we sit here on Monday and they found a way to win. It's pretty incredible. How did they get this win?
Well, it's classic Titans football. They managed to find a way to keep the game close, keep it from being out of reach. And then in the fourth quarter, things just start to turn back their way. You see, Derrick Henry's runs start to get a little bit longer. You see the offensive linemen continue to block. You start to see the defense, hands on their hips, breathing hard, and having trouble from play to play. And that's really what happened in that game. But then, you got a timely sack from Harold Landry. It was a perfectly tiered pass rush. You had Simmons on the opposite side coming in from that five technique, and he got that pressure. Landry, was able to get there, and Lamar Jackson didn't have anywhere to step up, right? And Will Compton was in on that pressure as well, and Landry brought him down, and that set up the run for Derrick Henry. And let me tell you, that jump cut and acceleration, that is rare, and it's special. And I think it's something that is underrated. I asked Derrick about that. He responded with me, asking me what I think, and, like I told him, you know what I think. I think it's special, and I think it's something that, really was a key to them winning that game. And you can't leave out A.J. Brown's play, you know, breaking three tackles and carrying a linebacker into the end zone. You watch this team, and it's just like, you know, it makes me think of back in the day, right? They used to have these wrestling figurines, and they were like 8 inches tall. You know, you would just kind of you play with your friends, and you bang them against each other, and you make them wrestle. Like these Titans pass catchers and Derrick Henry, they come across to me like guys who used to be over-aggressive playing with their figurines back in the day, because they definitely are excellent at yards at the catch, and you know, they play the game very aggressively. And even John Harbaugh said that they're probably the best run after catch or yards after catch or yards after contact team in the league.
I'm talking to Teron Davenport, ESPN Titans, an NFL reporter, talking with TD every week on our station. And Teron, I think you hit it in a nutshell. The Titans made the key timely plays. The Ravens made some timely mistakes, and the Titans come out on top. Let's dive in a little deeper on what you were saying with Isaiah Wilson. I think your point is well taken. If he's not ready, he's not ready. And it's, you know, it's too bad to be convenient if he were ready. But if he's not, you know, they've gone to the well. Quisenberry has been a great fill-in here and there. If he's got to be the starter, you know, they came up with Brewer. That was a great performance by him. I saw Nate Davis make a great block down the field on that decisive play that you were talking about, the game-winning play.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, Khalif Raymond made a great block way down the field. So collectively they're figuring it out. But who would be the next sub, right? You need to have that next sub that you can plug in. So if it's not Wilson, and I see your point. You know, you'd have to move guys around, starting with Kelly, to make a big switch like that. So if you're going to plug Quisenberry in, who's the next guy for the plug-in position?
Well, after that, I would imagine that's when you're in the situation where you would flip Kelly to left and have Isaiah Wilson go in at right. But you still have the ability, and this is, I swear, is what's keeping Jahmyr Douglas on the roster. He could play any of the five positions.
Yeah.
Right? So you could put him in at left tackle. Now, if I'm Ryan Tannehill, I'm, you know, giving to Gary Coleman. What you talking about, Willis? Look, if he goes at left tackle, but you know, it's something that can happen.
Yeah, that will be something they hope they don't have to deal with. But every team seems like they're getting to this point. They're having a lot of guys drop like flies. So, who do you think they have a chance of getting back? You know, you've got Saffold. You mentioned Vaccaro. There's so many key guys they were without. And you start taking roll and start asking the question, who might you get back for this huge game against the Colts?
Yeah, I would imagine that they should be able to get Saffold and Vaccaro back. I think Humphreys is on the table. I would also imagine that Christian Fulton is a possibility. We saw him getting a little bit of work on the side field this past week. So, those are some options. I would say those guys would definitely, you know, be in play. Mostly Saffold and Vaccaro, though. But it's just hard to tell because we don't know how serious that ankle and shoulder is for Saffold. And Brewer, you know, actually had a solid game. I just don't know about this week going against the Colts. We have Grady Stewart, I want to say, number 90. And, of course, DeForest Buckner. Those guys are grown men in the middle of that defensive line. So you probably do want to be at full power and would prefer strength on strength with Saffold going against them.
Mm. Tough matchup for sure. Special teams, we were all over it last week. They were a disaster against the Colts. Got to give them a lot of credit. They really were almost perfect, right? And then when you give them the big plus with the fake punt, which is a massive play in the game, to be able to hang in there and get the field goal at the end of the half. So kudos to them for getting it fixed.
Yeah, and it's ironic they were able to sneak Logan Woodside in there as the personal protector. And, man, that was quite a throw, a really good catch by Westbrook.
That was not like you see a lot of fake punts, Teron, where, you know, you or I – maybe, you know, you have all the time and you just fool the defense, the guy's wide open. That was not the case, right? That was a professional throw and catch.
Yeah, it definitely was. So I give him credit there. If there was one thing, if you want to white glove it,
I would say the kickoff return, they had a couple starts that were not, I think it was once it was inside the 20, but they started inside the 25 a few times. So,
yeah.
You know, that's something that can improve, but you can't make monumental strides in 1 week. I think what they did was a good sign of growth. Trevor Daniel got the ball out there and he didn't shank one, and you know, he was able to drive it, so that was good. They got good coverage, so I think you're right. You know, they played a solid game for sure.
Another thing we've harped on, I know you've asked the questions to Coach Vrabel, but having the game where both Corey Davis and A.J. Brown made clutch catches at key times, that was a really welcome sight. I just love how they worked together in the fourth quarter and in the overtime in particular. That it was almost how you draw it up, right? You have Henry doing his thing inside, and you have the two guys working outside.
Yeah, and I tell you what, it's kind of jumping into the future, but I think this organization really has to strongly consider and work to get Corey Davis back. You paid Ryan Tannehill $118 million. That's the contract he has. So you need to make sure that the guys that he likes to throw the ball to are there. So obviously Jonnu Smith, who has more touchdowns than any other tight end in the league, might I add, he's someone you got to bring back. But, yeah, Corey Davis, I think that's something that they really, really have to strongly look at to keep this offense intact.
Yeah, I've been saying it. I hope they continue to work on that. I think now's the time because, right, it's not going to – I know the market's uncertain. To me, you try to take advantage of that and try to get some talks going. Even if you can't get a deal done, try to get the groundwork laid before he hits the open market.
Yeah,
it's all going to be about price.
There will be some teams.
It's all going to be about price.
Yeah, I mean – hey, what purchase you make isn't about price. So, you know, that's something we know. But there are going to be some teams. You know, the Eagles, I would imagine for sure will be in the market for a guy like Corey Davis. I think the Packers will be a team. There's going to be teams that for sure will be interested.
Last thing, Teron, just your take after you get a chance to watch Lamar Jackson. And the Titans did a pretty decent job of corralling him and not letting him run wild like he has. He still had, you know, decisive yards, but they did about as well at containing him as you would hope. They kept him under his average for yards rushing, and he misfired on just enough throws with sort of the shaky weapons they have around him. What are your thoughts on the Ravens bouncing back by the end of the season?
Did we lose Teron? I think Teron may be on mute. Maybe he accidentally hit mute.
I don't know what happened there.
We were
just blank. I couldn't hear anything.
Okay.
Thoughts on Lamar Jackson? I think he's still a top level player. He's one of the best playmakers in the game, and it continues to be that way. And you know, we've been told over and over that he can't throw outside the numbers. Well, I'll tell you what, he made a really nice throw to Mark Andrews for a touchdown in the, second quarter. I don't get the rush to just, you know, tear this guy down as a player. Obviously there's room for improvement, but I think the Titans did a solid job against him. They were able to, you know, limit big plays, his explosiveness as far as running the football as well. So, I mean, after watching him, I still, just like Mike Vrabel said on Friday, I don't think much has changed as far as him as a playmaker from last year to this year. It's just package-wise, they're a bit more limited, you know, because of personnel and injuries. And Marquise Brown, you know, is definitely not helping him, and that's something that they have to get together. But, yeah, Lamar is playing fine in my book. His numbers are pretty solid still, so I don't have a big problem or issue with how he played yesterday or at any point this season.
Big game for them on Thursday for sure. Teron, thanks a lot for joining us as always. We'll talk to you again soon. Tell us about what you got in store later this week on Talking with TD.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we'll have Mike Wells, who covers the Colts for ESPN, NFL Nation. And then I think with this Clowney situation, with him being placed on injured reserve, I always want to keep the draft in mind. So I have Emory Hunt from Football Game Plan. We're going to talk a little bit about some outside linebackers slash DNs. The guy that I think is really interesting out of Pitt is Patrick Jones, the second. So I want to talk to Emory a bit about him. I got to watch him this past weekend, and he's an impressive player. So that's what we're going to do.
Sounds good, Teron. That is a big area to look on the horizon. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to Teron again soon. In the meantime, Darren has a word from a big sponsor of ours.
Yeah, show sponsors. We're proud to be associated with Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey, which you hear us talk about all the time on this show because they do sponsor our show. And they've also got a small batch bourbon that's crafted. That's what's interesting. They're very proud that this is all crafted in Memphis, Tennessee. So right in our state, just west of us, and they're proud of that. And Blue Note Juke Joint is artfully crafted in honor of the blues. That's also something important to them. And you always hear me say smoother than smooth. If you don't believe me, you should try it for yourself. I had a buddy of mine who just tried it over the weekend. In fact, he got that 9-year, that premium small batch, 9-year bourbon this weekend, and he tried it and gave me his review. And he really, really enjoyed it. And he talked about it being smoother than smooth. It's unfiltered at 93 proof. It's available in our area right here in Middle Tennessee or in the entire state. Blue Note Bourbon family includes Blue Note Juke Joint, which you hear us talk about, plus the Blue Note Bourbon Premium Small Batch that I've talked about. I haven't had a chance to try it yet. You can follow them on Instagram at Blue Note Bourbon and on Facebook. Look, the holidays are here. We know this is going to be a big shopping week, and if you've got a bourbon lover in your family or your circle of friends, hey, this is the perfect time to get them that gift. Like I said, you can find them anywhere here in Middle Tennessee, your favorite liquor store, or anywhere in the state. Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey, smoother than smooth. Please enjoy responsibly.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.